The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. A few years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at a wonderful family camp up in the Canton area for Canton Baptist Temple's summer family camp. And I noticed on the program that they had a guest soloist, which is not unusual at all. Some kid named Joseph Habedank. I am a little embarrassed to say it now, but I never heard of the kid. I had no idea. And he was introduced, of course, before I preached. And my wife and I were absolutely blown away, not just with his talent, but his testimony and the fact that this kid is real. Well, since then, he has become a gospel music sensation, gospel music's favorite soloist for four consecutive years. He was awarded the New Soloist of the Year in 2014. His sophomore release, Resurrection, was the first album released by a solo artist to receive Dove Award for Southern Gospel Album of the Year, and I could go on and on and on. Joseph Habedank, welcome. It is a privilege to have you on the program today.
Bob, thank you so much, and I know that you are from the Columbus area, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I grew up in Xenia, Ohio, and this is the strangest thing, Bob, but when you just started talking, I am fairly certain, because, you know, I've heard you talk before on when you preach or you spoke at that family camp, but
yeah.
I never heard you on the radio, and I'm fairly certain that I grew up listening to you on the radio. Would that be possible?
Absolutely possible. Yes, we cover the Xenia area like a blanket. Yes, we do.
Wow. You know, you just came on the air, and I know we had met in person, but I didn't recognize the voice until you just started. This is a pretty amazing moment for me. So thank you so much. I'm blown away right now.
We're friends,
and I didn't even know it.
I
heard your voice.
I think it's more amazing for me. Our meeting, and I don't know whether Joseph remembers this or not, but when I got up to preach, I kidded about calling him Joseph Humperdinck. Do you remember that, Joseph?
I do. Oh,
yeah. All right. Yeah, I was kidding about Joseph Humperdinck. Well, my wife was sitting right on the front row in this big outdoor chapel kind of thing, and she's looking up on her phone, Humperdinck. And she's hard of hearing in one ear. Anyway, long story short, her phone starts playing Engelbert Humperdinck music while I'm preaching, but she doesn't know it. And through about half of my sermon, her phone is playing Engelbert Humperdinck, and everybody around her is going, "Where's that coming from? And who is it?" You know.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. We have laughed.
In the age of Facebook Live, now in concert, people will video me. And then when I get done singing, a lot of times it'll get quiet after, you know, the crowd's kind of died out, and you'll hear me singing again, and it's somebody, their Facebook Live is going off. So that's kind of that similar thing. But listen, I've been called a lot worse than Humperdinck, I assure you.
Joseph, I want to talk about your music and your career and so forth, but I cannot neglect having you share a little bit of your testimony with our audience. Your introduction to gospel music, I believe you were with the Perrys, correct?
I was, for 10 years.
And you experienced some real personal sorrow, heartache, and difficulties. Would you just walk us through that quickly?
Yeah, so I grew up there in Dayton, Ohio. I grew up in a Christian home. I always loved gospel music and started singing with my family. My brother struggled with addiction most of my life, so I had kind of this real kind of disdain, obviously, for addiction and all that came with it. And to make a long story short, I joined a group called the Perrys. I was with them for 10 years, but about 5 years into that, I had an ulcer on the back of my throat and was introduced to pain medicine, and I became addicted, and I became a drug addict. I was taking anywhere from 10 to 12 oxycodone or hydrocodone every day of my life. I was enslaved and broken. I actually lost my job singing with the Perrys after 10 years, which was my dream, and that's when I knew I had to go and get help. So I checked into a place here in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, there's a lot of great Christian people that are not big on rehab. But I always tell those people, you know, if God can use a donkey, he can use a rehab. And I checked into a place in Nashville called Cumberland Heights. I lived there for 30 days. And then I went and did 5 weeks of outpatient. Mm. And then I did 90 recovery meetings in 90 days. And last month I celebrated 8 years of sobriety, one day at a time, and Jesus has really just done a miracle. He's taken my story and my brokenness, and we have built a ministry on that. And I'm so, so honored and humbled by the fact that people, not only do they accept my brokenness, but they have been able to relate with it. And I think that's what's so powerful to me.
That, as I said, that's what impressed my wife and I when we met you and heard you. But more, I mean, Joseph, God's incredibly talented you, given you unbelievable talent, but the fact that you were real and genuine, and I think most of the people in gospel music are pretty genuine, but you and I both know they all aren't. Some are entertainers more than ministers, and just the fact that you were so raw and transparent in your testimony and willing to allow God to use you, and I think that's probably the main reason why you, Joseph, listen, you are at the very top of your field. Did you ever anticipate the kind of success that you have received?
Well, no, only because of, you know, because of what I walked through. I wasn't even sure if they didn't have me back, the Christian music, but they have, you know, they've embraced me and for the most part. And not only that, but, you know, in the Southern gospel world, it's very harmony, family group, quartet driven. There's not a lot of solo artists.
No, very true.
Ivan Parker and Jason Crabb and David Phelps. And there's not a whole lot of solo artists that really make it. And so, I didn't expect it. But for whatever reason, I really think that God took my brokenness and somehow made it relatable to people. And I think the reason it's relatable is because, you know, not everybody has struggled with addiction, but everybody's been broken. Everybody's failed God. Everybody's fallen short. Yeah. And so for whatever reason, and I think the powerful thing about addiction is that really it touches everybody, because even if you've not been through it yourself, typically there's someone in your family or a friend, somebody that you know that has been touched by it. And it's an awful, ugly, nasty thing, but Jesus is bigger than all of that ugly and nasty, and I'm so grateful for that.
Honest question, do you get tired of talking about it and having people like me ask you, and you have to recount it over and over again? You've been clean and sober for 8 years. Are there times that you just want to say, hey, that's in my past, let's forget about it, I don't want to talk about it anymore?
Well, you know, typically that, you know, no, I don't. And the reason why is because, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, don't look back unless you're planning to go that way. Just don't look back. But for me, the reason I look back is to recount God's faithfulness in my life and the deliverance that has taken place in my life. And again, I think without my story, I don't know that any of my quote-unquote success happens without the brokenness of my story. And so I am grateful for it. I'm not proud that I was a drug addict, but I am very proud of what God has done in my life. I'm proud of what Jesus has done in my life. And I don't mind talking. I love being able to share my experience and my strength and the hope of recovery.
Well, and God's using it, as it says in Corinthians, to comfort others with the same comfort that you have received. We're talking with Joseph Habedank. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. Stay tuned.
talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
And my guest is Joseph Habedank, who just a few minutes ago made me feel older than dirt. I grew up listening to you. welcome back, Joseph. I can't believe that, though, because I saw that you grew up in Xenia, but I had no idea that you had listened to me when you were younger. I've been on the air for a long, long time. Yes, I have.
Yeah, you are quite the legend, Bob. And you know what's funny? I was going to ask you, one of the things that I miss the most about Ohio, actually one of the only things I miss about Ohio outside of my family, is Skyline Chili. Are you a Skyline fan or no? Because it's a love-hate thing.
I have had Skyline twice, and I liked it, but I wasn't a fanatic.
Gotcha.
The reason, have you ever been to Wiener Schnitzel in California?
No.
The hot dog joint? See, I grew up in Southern California, and the big hot dog joint was Der Wiener Schnitzel, a fast food dumpy thing. But anyway, they have the world's best chili on their chili dogs, and I keep going back to the Wiener Schnitzel chili, and Skyline is good. Skyline is good.
Hey, but isn't it interesting that you tend to revert back to your childhood?
Oh yeah,
chili, and I revert back to my childhood chili, which is Skyline. It's interesting how that works. We love chili.
Okay. I want to talk for a few minutes, and our time is going to go really, really fast. I knew it would. The future of Southern gospel. Joseph, I grew up with Southern gospel. Used to go to the all-night sings down in Long Beach, California. And when everybody else was going crazy over Elvis, I was going crazy over Jake Hess. And the Statesmen and the Blackwood Brothers and the Weatherfords and the Harvesters and the Spear family, they were my heroes. And personally, I don't think any genre of music goes straight to the heart as Southern gospel does. I just really believe it. There is something about Southern gospel that just goes straight to the heart. And when I go to a lot of the concerts, I see a lot of gray hair, but you give me hope because you're a young dude and you are incredibly popular. Again, soloist of the year, 4 consecutive years. And by the way, our listeners can vote this year for you, correct?
They can. Yeah. SingingNews.com/FanAwards.
Which, by the way, is our company. Singing News is owned by our parent company.
Yes, Salem.
Yeah, Salem. So you can go to Singing News and vote for Joseph. What is your view of the future of Southern gospel music? Do you see young people getting involved?
Yeah, I do. I do more than most artists, and a lot of it's because I'm 35, and we have I sing at a big youth conference in Pigeon Forge every year, about 3,000 teenagers. And for whatever reason, they've latched on to my music. Mm-hmm. And but I will say this, there's two things that give me hope. One thing is a lot of the Southern gospel historians say that it has always been an elderly crowd. Even back in the 50s and 60s, there was always kind of an elderly crowd. And so there will always be elderly people to listen to Southern gospel music. That's one thing that encourages me. But the biggest thing that encourages me is that the industry has really changed musically in the last few
True.
Years. It's become more modern, a little more,
right.
I don't want to say progressive, but in a good way progressive. It has changed. It's not, for a lot of years, we kind of relied on the past. We relied on the music of the Goodmans and the Hensons and the Statesmen and the Cathedrals. And I love all of those artists. But in order for our industry to grow, I think we have to kind of reinvent the wheel. We have to learn how to be more current and while not compromising the message of the gospel.
Right.
And so I'm excited because I'm seeing more young people than I've ever seen before. It is remarkable. the young people that are coming out now to my concerts and to other artists like the Irwins and Triumphant. There are so many artists that have kind of this, they're wanting to appeal to the family. We are wanting to appeal to the family rather than just to the grandparents, which has for so many years been the market. But at the end of the day, it's about reaching as many people as possible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whatever we need to do without compromising that message is what we need to do. And I'm very excited about the future of gospel.
I think
it is scary.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've seen groups adapt. Last week, we went to a Hoppers concert. And I mean, you know, they sang on the Ark. But they were new. They were fresh. They had changed a lot. The Booth Brothers, our dear friend, Buddy Mullins, just joined the Booth Brothers.
Yeah.
Buddy is going to bring a more contemporary sound and attitude to the Booth Brothers. And you're right. But the message has not been compromised, or at least I certainly hope not. Again, we're going to run out of time. How can people find out about your music? Remind us again that they can vote for you. Has anyone won Soloist of the Year 5 years in a row? Would that be history?
No, actually, Ivan Parker did for I Have a Long Way to Go. He beat, I think, not beat. He won it, I think, 15 years. So
you're kidding! I had no idea.
He was a big winner. And then when he, after he, you know, passed the mantle, if you will, I started winning it about 4 years ago. And so we'll see what happens. You never know. But yeah, you can vote right now at singingnews.com/fanawards. And you can also keep up with our ministry at Joseph Habedank. .com. For those of you that can't spell that, it's Habedank.
It is not Humperdinck. It is not Humperdinck.
You can put in Humperdinck, but another person is going to come up, and the music is quite different than my music is. But yes, keep in touch with us on Instagram, Facebook. You can purchase our music online. We'd love to keep in touch with you, Bob. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show.
Oh, listen.
What an honor for me.
Oh, listen, it's my honor. It's Habedank, Habedank. Get his music. You will be blessed. You'll be challenged. You'll be encouraged. And pray for this young man. God has just blessed him incredibly. Pray that God would keep him protected and right in the center of his will. Joseph, we will be in touch again soon, I promise. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you, Bob.
Joseph Habedank, and again, that's josephhabedank.com, Habedank.com. Go to the Singing News and vote for Joseph. All right, stay tuned. More Bob Burney Live coming up in just a moment.